You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 18 July. Japanese inflation came out a couple of hours ago, 3.3% year on year. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Skoglo, PSG, Old Oak, listed telcos. They're having a year. Is there more upside there? And if we've got time, I'm going to sneak in a question on Woolies because you're sub 50. Johan Els from Old Mutual, their mid-year update on local and global economics. What are they seeing? Inflation rates and all the other bits. Thoughts from me, a simple lever that you can significantly enhance your retirement if you don't have enough to retire on. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, SAA slips back into loss as fuel and plane leasing costs spiral. Reports the $352 million loss after $210 profit in the previous year. Business Day, AECI surges after offloading non-core assets. Disposals are part of a broader effort to simplify and strengthen the group's profile. Morning markets, the US was green, S&P up 0.5%, NASDAQ 0.75% higher. Over in the East, mostly green, Sydney's 1% up, Tokyo down 0.1%, and then Hong Kong and Tencent 0.75% higher. Commodities mostly green, gold the exception, down a couple of dollars at $3,343. Brent 69.46, platinum 1,482, palladium 1,338. The rand is 17.80. Bitcoin is $120,170. And top 40 opening call, green open, 340 points or 0.4% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Skulk Lowe. You find him, of course, at PSG Old Oak. Skulk, appreciate the early morning. As always, telcos. I got to say, up front, a sector that doesn't particularly thrill me. But, I mean, MTN and Vodacom, what, three-year highs? Telkom, five-year highs. Blue Label, if we throw them in there, I've got to zoom that chart out a whole lot more. Multi-year highs. They're having a good year. To your mind, is this justified? Is there value? Is there more upside in this space?
Tough crowd, Simon. Having a good year. I mean, they're having a great year. I mean, I'm sitting. I mean, just for the listeners out there, not because it sort of went under the radar, Simon. I mean, yeah. I asked somebody the other day, you know, looking at the top 10 or top 15 best performers for this year on the JSE, what would you say? Well, immediately people will say gold. There we go. Yeah, gold will be one of the top performers, then the PGMs, and they will be 100% right. But, you know, throw in there, I mean, and just for the listeners' sake, I mean, year to date, the JSE is currently sitting, wait for it, 18%. Mm-hmm. Year to date, what a year! But when you look at in the top 15, number 7th position, Telkom, currently trading at 70% year to date performance, MTN 64%, and Vodacom sitting in 13th position, 42%. So they've had a phenomenal year. And in your intro, you said, well, will there be upside? Well, that'll be a difficult one because, mm-hmm. you know, my crystal ball is the murkiest of murk at the best of days. But what I can say is when you look at the analysts currently, the analyst forecast don't seem to be thinking there will be a lot more upside mm-hmm. from these current levels. Vodacom currently, now I'm using the Refinitiv target prices. Vodacom, they're looking at about a minus 5%. Retraction if they're 100% right. MTN basically flat. Telkom 5% down. But I mean, you mentioned Blue Label. I mean, Blue Label, we know that they want to do a separate mm-hmm. listing on Celsi, and this will typically be the time when you want to be doing this. I mean, sure. Last year we were sitting here, and you know, I had this conversation earlier this week where we talked about single-digit PEs, you know, mm-hmm. Dividend yields trading at 8%. This is not typically where you want to be listing or floating one of your holdings. You know, now suddenly Vodacom is trading at a forward PE of close to 15 times. MTN is trading at a 14 times. So not necessarily cheap anymore. I mean, so, yeah, will I be buying, and just for sake of T's and C's, I do own some MTNs.
Okay.
But will I be buying any more at current levels? I would most probably not. I want to see MTN and more specifically, our telcos do a little bit more innovatively. I mean, I want to see, MTN is in the fintech space. Momo Money is that's doing pretty well. I know that most of these companies are really looking to expand their fiber footprint. I think that is good. But I want to see more. I want to see them use these ID numbers. I want to see them use these users expanding their product space, because I don't know. I just get the feeling that data and any call. I mean, it's a dinosaur and it's a dying breed. I mean, I think eventually these datas will just become, free.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly, I mean, the price pressure has been down, and I take your point. We need perhaps some innovation there. Let's change track slightly. Let's touch on Woolies. I got to say, I haven't looked at the stock in a while, but over $50.
Don't look at the stock. Do not look at the stock, because, I mean, this is if you pull up a chart of Woolies, I mean, it's a sad story. I mean, a company that traded in it's called 2015, traded at over 100 rand.
Yeah.
Today or yesterday closed below 50 rand, 47 odd rand. It's a sad story, and this is a company that I've been reporting on quite. Every 6 months they bring out the trading statements or eventually financial, and it's there's a trend. Every year we've heard we're struggling in the fashion and the beauty side. It was always the Australian businesses, David Jones and Country Roads. Luckily they got rid of David Jones now after many years of bad reporting, but then they'll say, well, the food business is doing phenomenal, really looking good, looking good growth. And that was the trend. And for years, I still think they should do a similar thing that Pick n Pay has done. Just do a separate listing. Have a Woolies, let's call it Woolies fashion and beauty, and have a Woolies food. I promise you, most shareholders will run towards the Woolies food side and say, I don't care. And that, I do think, will put them in a position to be focusing really on creating a solid business. Someone that can compete with the likes of the Truworths, the Mr. Prices and those type of companies.
Yeah, and I do note, I mean, Woolies is down, 22% for the year. Spa, just below them, is down 25%. They're not on their own in that food. Actually, ShopRite's even down for the year. You hadn't seen that, only by 7%. Okay, food retailing proving tough in 2025. We'll leave it there. Skelklo, PSG, Old Oak, always appreciate the early morning. Our poll today is back to that local telco sector. Do you see some value there still? Skulk says they've run hard, and maybe if you weren't in, you've missed it. But as you said, I buried the lead there, man. They've had a brilliant year, not a good year. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Johan Els. He is, of course, the chief economist at Old Mutual. Johan, always appreciate the early morning. Your mid-year sort of update on the state of global and local economy. Let's start sort of offshore and US. US inflation, that is perhaps one of the concerns around tariffs. But you make the point that actually weaker growth might limit some of that second round impact. And, does that mean that perhaps we're going to start to see some rate cuts coming through from Jerome Powell and his team at the Federal Reserve?
I think so. Not imminently, though.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the US economy is downshifting a little bit weaker and lots of uncertainty around policymaking on top of previous slowing. So further slowing in the labor market, further slowing in consumer spending. So yeah, I expect the US economy to slow towards year end. And I think there might even be recessionary-like conditions later on. So the Fed has always proven itself to be very reactive when they see that kind of environment.
Mm.
Even if inflation is still under pressure from tariff hikes, that slowing in the economy will certainly limit second-round inflationary impact. And the Fed will then, in my opinion at least, start thinking about cutting rates later this year into next year. So I think broadly, the consensus is that rates will be cut significantly further. When I say significantly, probably not that much, but around 100 to 125 basis points by this time next year. So I think that is certainly on the cards.
Okay, and that is, I mean, moderately chunky from their regard. What about dollar weakness? And we, when we think dollar weakness, we always compare it to the ZAR, which is probably not fair to the dollar. But certainly, if we look at against the Europe, and you probably in your PowerPoint, you've got a chart that you were using earlier in the year. Then what's happened sort of since to April? We've seen massive dollar weakness against the euro. This is part of President Trump's policies, likely to continue in your mind?
Yes, I think so. So investors are deeply concerned about the uncertainty around policy making, you know, the on again, off again tariff. And then the one big, beautiful budget bill act, that mouthful that will certainly drive up debt in the US. So investors are very concerned about this safe haven status of investments in the US. So that has been behind that weaker dollar. And I think there's more to come. And I see lots of forecasts out there that suggest maybe the dollar might test some of the previous weaker levels against the euro. So that certainly spells good news for the rand's move against the dollar, of course, and other emerging market currencies as well, because these emerging markets relatively stronger growth. And when investors are sort of iffy about investments in the US, they would rather go towards emerging markets. So the type of a risk on trade there as well.
Yeah, 100%. Globalization, you make a really great point as well. You say it's not retreating, it's recalibrating. We just, globalization is not going to go away, it's just going to look different in the years ahead.
Certainly, and I think where people have been concerned about these protectionism policies from the US, I think free trade outside of the US will continue. And then gradually, I think US consumers will go on demanding cheaper import prices. They want those cheap fridges and TVs from offshore. So I think this is a hiccup in terms of free trade, and certainly only a slight hiccup in terms of globalization, because with technological advances, tourism, etc., there are lots of issues around globalization that I think will just strengthen globalization going forward.
If we bring it back home, you talk around South Africa improving growth trend. We've done 1% for the last decade or more. You say that can shift to sort of 2.5% to 3%. You make the point that the growth we really need is around 5% to 6%, and that is highly unlikely. But there certainly is indications that we can at least get to that sort of 2.5%, 3%, which we so desperately need as an economy.
We certainly need that, and we certainly, I think we're on our way there, given that the private sector is taking up a far bigger role in the economy. So we're making some headway, perhaps too slowly, but at least we are making some headway in terms of those structural constraints we've had in the economy. Electricity is the big example where lots of private sector investment has happened. I think gone are the days of stage six load shedding on a continuous basis. We might have some hiccups here and there, but that has been improving. The private sector's role in Transnet's logistical operations, in water supply, in the electricity grid. So all the jobs that various government departments, but especially Operation Vulindlela, is doing and easing this process. I think we're heading that direction. But as you say, I strongly think that we're never going to get towards 5 or 6% on a sustained basis. There might be a year or two, but not on a sustained basis. Because the big, big structural issues there, we're not doing anything about. And that's the skills deficit and the overly regulated labor market. So those are big constraints that nothing is being done about, compared to the other structural issues in terms of electricity and water supply, etc.
Yeah. The chart, page 18, I almost fell out of my seat, and I mean that sincerely. You reminded me that in the October 2020 medium-term budget policy statement, government debt as a percentage of GDP was forecast to 95%. We have held below 80. The forecast is certainly trending down. The question then, are the rating agencies behind the curve on us? Because we're still two or three levels into junk. We don't seem to be getting any of the perhaps benefit from the improvements. I know we've had our the outlooks moved up, but I mean, should we expect some perhaps moves from our rating agencies in the near term?
Yeah, absolutely. And coming back to that 95% forecast back in 2020, that's always the perspective that I believe is important in economics. And again, the ratings agencies' views of where our debt to GDP ratio will sit in terms of their forecasts when they last assigned these current ratings. So they're behind the curve, in my opinion, and with slightly better growth. Growth is a big issue for ratings agencies. We're moving in that direction. And yes, I think we've seen the bottom of the rating cycle and that we should head upwards. So I think we'll see more positive outlook statements. Moody's and Fitch, for instance, S&P is already there. Some of these things take some time, but I think within 2 to 3 years, we can expect upgrades. And probably within 4 to 5 years, we can get back into investment grade on the back of this improving growth trend, on the back of that debt to GDP ratio ongoing easing lower.
The last question, which everyone's interested in, you mentioned consumer spending being improving since the beginning of last year. The data is all moving in the right direction. My question then is, what about local inflation? And perhaps the bigger question is, are we going to see more cuts from the MPC through the rest of this year?
I think there's a window of opportunity here for another rate cut the end of July. The next MPC meeting is 31st of July. So another rate cut. But I also now assume in all my forecasts that we'll actually get an announcement on the lower 3% inflation target before the end of the year. So I think rates then move sideways after the July cut and then sideways perhaps for an extended period of time until then we see inflation settling at around the 3% mark again. Because we have to remember that the normal cycle is for it to start drifting up very slowly, very moderately towards the end of this year and into next year. And then it has to drift down again. So nominal rates sideways for some time before we start to see rate cuts again by 2027, 28, in line with that lower inflation number. So lower inflation target, absolutely great for us as consumers, good for interest rates and far more benefits than negatives.
We'll leave it there. Johan Els, Old Mutual's chief economist. Always appreciate the awesome insights. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
So some thoughts from me this Friday. You get to retirement, you don't have enough money. That is the stark reality for many out there. And then the question is, now what? Well, there's a simple lever we can pull, which is delaying your retirement. Now, I appreciate the T's and C's. Perhaps your company has a point at which you have to retire. In many cases, we've been working. We want to go sit on the beach or whatever it might be, the campsite, the golf course or something. But he has some really, really startling numbers. If you delay retirement by 10 years, what you've effectively done is you've added 10 years of growth to your retirement money. You're also still making contributions to your retirement money. That 10-year delay can double the size of your retirement fund. So you effectively then get into retirement with 2x the money. And here's the other part, with to be a little bit stark here, but you've delayed retirement for 10 years, which means you've got 10 years less of retirement. So you've got more money and less time. And that really is a massive number. Now, you could perhaps delay it just 5 years, and those numbers won't be as impressive, but absolutely they will still significantly benefit you. The point is, it's around delaying that retirement. They're huge economic benefits, but there might be challenges. As I said, maybe your job doesn't do it. Maybe your health isn't allowing you. Maybe you just want to actually go in and relax. But I was reminded, as sort of putting this together, many years ago, I chatted with someone. He had been a mid-level manager in a successful listed company. He had done well, but he didn't like the retirement he'd got to. So he went and ran a coffee shop for another 6 years to boost it. There are perhaps ways around it. It does mean, however, less years in retirement. That's it for today. We're chatting with Kieran Nanyani yesterday, Scope Prime. We were talking the ASML results. Really good numbers, but that outlook was poor, and that saw a 8% sell-off in the stock. It continued. It was down another percent or so last night. We asked you, is ASML worth investing in? Almost three quarters said yes, it is a great business. The rest was split between preferring other tech stocks or no, tariffs are going to hurt. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Siren, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. Careful with your diversification.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.